We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's a Wings post-game show right here on Outside the Box, part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. Kyle Bennett, Herm the intern, making his return to the post-game show because we were 3,000 miles away in San Diego. The Wings dropped this one 13-11 to the Seals. They didn't let the Seals score for almost 30 minutes, and they still somehow lost, Herm.
The Wings are disappointing, to say the least.
I've seen some frustrating games with this team this season, and I must say last night takes the cake as most frustrating. They were playing a complete game. Sure, they were down early. It was a tie game after one. San Diego pulled away at halftime. It was 7-4. And then the Wings go on their best defensive run of the season and shut out San Diego in the third quarter, going a 4-0 run. And then it all falls apart in the fourth quarter, like it seems to always fall apart. And the Seals outscore the Wings 6-3 in the fourth quarter to take it 13-11. Your leading goal scorers for the Wings, Kevin Crowley, Josh Currier, both with 3 goals. Josh led the team in points with 7. He had 4 assists. Kevin with 3 assists, Kyle Matisse with a 2-goal, 4-assist night, and that was about it for your goal scoring. You know, there was a sprinkle of Justin Gutterding, the new guy Matt Bennett, and Matt Rambo, but other than that, everybody else was kind of silent on the score sheet. Blaze Reardon had 1 assist, Steph Charbonneau had 1 assist, and Doug Buchan had 1 assist, and that's all your scoring for your Philadelphia Wings. You know, I'm just very frustrated because they had this game won. They were up 10-7. They were playing confident. And then a penalty happens. And it just kind of swung momentum for San Diego. And they go on that run. And as we always say, lacrosse is a game of runs. And San Diego got theirs. You know, the Wings were down 7-5 and then end up being up 10-7. And then the Seals go on their run, make it 11-10 San Diego. Josh Currier ties it. And then Austin Stotts kind of puts the nail in the coffin. And then Turner Evans gets that late goal on the Kevin Crowley turnover. But I don't even know how to explain this team now, Herm.
Yeah, Jordan Hall needs to start scoring more goals. This team can only win with his presence being made on the floor. I mean, we looked like, I don't know. The thing is, I want to be so mad at these guys, but they played really well for 3 quarters. But it's that fourth quarter that's just so damn disappointing. We just can't ever finish. I don't know what it's going to take. Like, do we have to run more sprints or something at practice? Like, do we get tired? Are we dead? What is it? What is going to help us get through the fourth quarter? Do we need to, like, start, like, shotgunning Red Bulls in between quarters? I don't know what it is. It's just, there's really, I don't know a solution to this. You know how you can most of the time watch a game and you understand what you need to fix and how you need to change it? I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. Like, there's no explanation to it. They played a fantastic game. Like, if they would have won this game, this would have been their best game of the season overall. I think this would have topped how they played against Toronto in overtime and lost earlier in the season. I think this would have topped Rochester in overtime. I think this would have topped the New England game that they won. Because they shut down one of the best players in the game, and even though he's a rookie, Austin Stotts did not have the best game last night. Short, you know, he had 2 goals and 3 assists, but the Wings did a great job for 3.5 quarters shutting him down, and he gets his second goal, you know, late in the game, but they did a fantastic job of shutting him down, and he wasn't really able to do much all night.
Right, I think we honestly ended up focusing too much on him and not enough on Dan Dawson or Casey Jackson, because they were just out here balling out. They were just giving us the sauce left and right, and we couldn't handle it. So I think we had to play them much. I think we tried to play them the same way that we played Toronto, and by shutting down, I think we shut down Adam Jones or something that game, and it worked. But it was Hellier.
Yeah,
we shut down Hellier that game, and it worked. So we figured, okay, if we shut down Austin Stotts, we will not let up as many goals. But that's not going to work, because Dan Dawson came out with Casey Jackson in the fourth quarter and just
Dan Dawson came out of nowhere from the beginning. He set a career high in goals in a game with 5. And then Garrett Billings was kind of just the behind-the-scenes guy dishing out 7 assists on the night. That doesn't help you either when you let a guy kind of be the primary facilitator of, you know, more than half the goals that your team is scoring. That was their three-headed monster approach last night. It was Dan Dawson with 7 points, Garrett Billings with 7 assists, and then Casey Jackson with 6 points and a hat trick of his own. So it was frustrating early, and Dan Dawson did a bulk of his damage early. You know, he had a first half hat trick, but then they let him get those 2 goals late in the fourth quarter, and things just spiraled from there. And I just don't know what needs to be said to this team, what needs to be done. You know, Josh Currier stepped up last night, and Kevin Crowley and Kyle Matisse were balling like they typically should, and that was good to see after Kevin's kind of like weird performance last week, where he put up numbers, but it wasn't really like in a team effort. But
yeah, he struggled last week, but we weren't calling him out. You know,
like, right?
Everybody's gonna have an off week, but Big Cat's still one of the best players on this team, and we can't just be saying like, oh no, it's time to get rid of him or anything, because he had one bad game. So I'm excited after this week seeing how well he played last night. I mean, he came out with that first quarter goal, which was big because San Diego was getting a little bit of momentum, it felt like, but he shut that down really quickly, which was good.
Yeah, and he was facilitating. He just looked more comfortable out there than he did last week, and not saying he had a bad game last week, but it was one of those like kind of like lone wolf games where he was trying to do too much rather than, you know, using the guys around him. But you need, night in and night out, you need the surrounding and supporting cast to step up, and Josh Currier did his part. He's been a big goal scorer for this team. I believe he has 19 goals on the season now. But you got no production from Jordan Hall in the goal scoring department. Sure, he had 4 assists, but he needs to be one of your primary goal scorers on this team. You got no goals from Blaze Reardon, which you normally do. This is the first game in a while, I think, that Blaze hasn't scored a goal. Liam Patton was completely silent last night. Justin Gutterding had 1 goal, and he's been putting, you know, multiple points up since he got his call up from the practice squad. I don't know what has to happen in order for this team to get a spark to finish games. And, you know, they go in and say it every week, you know, they got to learn how to finish. You got to learn how, well, I'm pulling the card from Paul Day from last week. It's not school anymore. You know, you got to be able to win these games, and you had it won and you let it slip out of your hands. And this one hurts even more for this team because New England ended up losing to Vancouver. And, you know, if you end up winning, you go you're now 3-9 if you win this game against San Diego. New England, I believe, now after that game against Vancouver, is 7-5. So you would have been 4 games out of a playoff spot with a game in hand against New England next week to go up against them, get the season series and the tiebreaker over them for a potential New England collapse. with six games to play. And some of those teams you play, obviously Toronto being a big, you know, opponent, but you've played them tough twice this year. So I expect them to beat Toronto, hopefully, when they play them next. You have a game against Calgary at home. Calgary, you know, they're no slouch, but they're a beatable team. And then you have a three-game West Coast trip against Saskatchewan, who is up and down. They lost this week in overtime, handed a game away to Buffalo. You have a game against Vancouver. Again, they're no slouch, but they're a beatable team. And then you have one final game for the final week of the season against Georgia. Again, a team that is good. They're in the playoffs. They might rest some guys, potentially, because they have that playoff spot locked up, depending on how things flow. But if you won this game, man, this season potentially had playoffs written all over it if you got some help from New England losing some more games, and now you got to be absolutely flawless with some help from every team that plays New England the rest of the season.
Yeah, we have about a negative 0.2% chance of making the playoffs, in my opinion, from this point on. I think that the idea of beating Toronto would be just incredibly difficult. I don't know how we're going to come out and play against New England next week. I think that that West Coast road trip at the end of the season is really going to hurt us because it's a tough one. I mean, we saw it in New England last night. They looked flat when they got to Vancouver and didn't play very well. So I think that could very well potentially happen to us, which scares me. So I think we need to take a step back and just figure out our issues, figure out what we have to do to get better going in the next season, and then hopefully scratch some wins out so that we can gain some momentum heading into the 2020 season. But I got a question for you for the rest of the season. What do we need to just start putting DeRusso in the fourth quarter?
You know, and I talked about this with Alex on the post game last week after the loss to Buffalo when this team handed another win away to the Bandits. You know, they were up the entire game and then they end up losing in overtime. That was the only time Buffalo led in that game, was in overtime. So, you know, this team can win. It's just a matter of what is it going to take to give that extra push late in the game. And, you know, you shouldn't have to switch your goalie in a game in order to light a fire under your team's ass.
Because we gotta get Doug Buck in that Cialis, get that stamina.
And it just makes no sense that, you know, every time we switch the goalie, we've seen more of a fire lit under the offense to go out and perform better. That shouldn't have to happen with the talent on this team from top to bottom. You know, this team is way too talented to be 2-10. And I think each and every one of those guys in that locker room would say that. I think Paul Day would say it. You know, there's no excuse for it. And a goalie swap during the game shouldn't be the key to lighting a fire under their asses in order to win a game. It just makes no sense. And, you know, the broadcast said it best last night. Goalies are gold in the NLL, and you need a good goalie in order to go far. Not saying Doug Buchan's not a good goalie, because he's performed well, you know, the past month, I'd say. But they just need consistency from that position, and I don't know if it's going out and getting a veteran or drafting somebody next year or finding somebody that can come in and kind of compete with Doug, and maybe Doug becomes your backup next year, because we've seen what DeRusso can do. Who knows if he'll be back next year or not, but it's very frustrating to know that the games that they've won, DeRusso's had to come in, and that's what's kind of sparked this team to victory.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to light fires under the guys just to get them to want to win. I mean, to look dead in the fourth quarter is just embarrassing. It looks like that you're giving up, and you're honestly just not prepared at that point, which is sad. And I think that one of the best things you said there was that, I mean, you didn't really say it, but Buffalo has now gone to overtime games for the last 2 weeks while they were down the entire rest of the game. But that's what separates a great team from us, is that they can learn how to convert in that overtime and take a win from the team that was winning and run away with it, while we can't even convert a fourth quarter 3-goal lead that we should have hang on to. God, Wings have my words all messed up too.
Yeah, and I mean, even giving up that lead, Josh Currier was able to tie the game at 11 late in the fourth quarter, realistically, all you needed to do was play shutdown defense and potentially get this game to overtime.
The shutdown defense that we were really freaking good at for like a half hour right before it.
That's the thing, man. Like, they didn't let this team score for almost 28 minutes straight. They shut them out in the fourth quarter, and then they didn't score again until like 5 minutes into the fourth quarter. Like, that's the best defensive stand I've seen this team have all season. The best defensive sequences I've seen them have all season. Buchan was playing out of his mind during that run, and you can't squander those types of performances in a game like this. You know, granted, it's an East versus West matchup. It's not going to mean much when it comes to tiebreakers and everything, but when you're a 2-9 team, you need every win you can get. This team's on life support right now when it comes to the playoffs. Sure, Rochester had a double loss weekend, so that helped kind of separate the wings because they have the tiebreaker over Rochester right now. So they're technically in fifth place in the East. They're no longer in the, you know, the metaphorical basement. But man, being four games back of New England with one game to go against them next week at Wells Fargo Center rather than five games would have been much nicer to see, because then that game, I think these guys would have been even more, you know, juiced up to go out there and put on a show, because they put on a show last night in San Diego. They played well. Like, it's very frustrating to even continue blurbing on about it. Shots on goal, Wings get outshot 54-45. The loose ball battle, we got absolutely demolished 86-61. And then the face-off, Trevor continues to have a successful season. He wins 18 of 27 face-offs. Dylan Evans goes 0 for 1. So the Wings win it 18-10 out of 28 potential face-offs. The power play, San Diego goes 3 of 4. So our power play defense kind of was an Achilles heel. The Wings go 1 of 2 on the power play. It's a good percentage-wise, but normally this team is pretty good at drawing penalties to go on the power play. Sure, they don't always convert them, but they are always, you know, pretty solid at drawing the penalties to get teams like San Diego to have them be a man down is just an advantage in itself, I think, for this team to just kind of prevent goals from being scored. And, you know, going 1 of 2 is good, but I think you need to draw more penalties against a team like San Diego.
Yeah. And I think that part of that was also the refs. I mean, they were kind of calling some weird stuff last night. Yeah. They were kind of all over the place. I'm just not a fan of the NLL refs in general, man. I think that they miss too many calls, which then leads to like 5-minute breaks to review them. And I don't know. I just think it's something that needs to get worked on, especially with goals being scored. I mean, they're never looking at the foot on the line or goal interference or anything. They're just looking if the ball goes in the net, and then they review it. But that's just my little rant for the day, because I don't know. It felt necessary. I'm kind of just ranting about the NLL right now because of that frustrating loss.
And I mean, you're chasing New England in the standings, and looking at New England's schedule, and I'll pull ours up as well. You know, New England loses to Vancouver last night, 12-9. They have the Wings, you know, at Wells Fargo Center next week with the season on the line now for the Wings. Then March 31st, New England hosts Rochester. You know, who knows? Two teams that play on a smaller floor. Who knows what could happen? And then for the April stretch for New England, San Diego goes to New England on April 6th. That's when the Wings play Calgary. And then April 12th, they start their 3-game road trip at Toronto, and then they go at Buffalo, and then they go at Rochester. So if the Wings would have won last night, you know, there was potential for a hope at the playoffs with the way New England's schedule is set up. And looking at the Wings' remaining schedule, next weekend, Saturday, March 23rd, we host New England. Then we go on the road March 30th at Toronto. Then we're back home for the final home game of the season, April 6th against Calgary. And then we're at Saskatchewan, at Vancouver on a 2-game weekend. That's April 13th and April 14th for those two games. And then at Georgia, April 20th. So, like, this San Diego game meant a lot. And it's frustrating to know that they couldn't close this one out. And I want to see results from this team because, like I said, they're too good to be in the position they are.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the best teams struggle, man. And I think that's what we just saw with this season. It's heartbreaking. It is. I mean, I had so much hope going into the season, and now it's just like every week I feel like we're having the same damn conversation.
Yeah, you know, and what's the definition of insanity, Herm?
It's to keep trying to do the same thing all expecting the time, but always different fail.
Results. And
yeah, there you go.
They are getting the same results, and this team is insane.
Yeah. I had a professor once use that analogy with me, and it really, like, I thought he was trying to, like, offend me, and I was like, wow, you're a dickhead.
Looking ahead to next weekend, Herm, against New England, a team that, you know, has offensive firepower, but we've played them once at Wells Fargo Center, and we dominated them for the most part. Won that game 14-10. Season is on the line next week. If the Wings lose this one, say goodbye to any sort of playoff hope. But if they win, they go to 3-10. New England goes to 7-6. You're four games out with five to play. What are you looking to see from this team next weekend?
This is a tricky one because I want to think that the Wings are going to be super fired up to be back on the floor and at like the Welly. And it's an exciting game because we always play New England really well. But I also think that New England coming off this loss from this week is going to be extra fired up and extra ready to play us. And I hope that that doesn't outweigh the enthusiasm we have and only lasts for three quarters and then we fizzle out and everything's gone and New England scores six goals in the fourth quarter to beat us by one, you know, something like yeah. that. So that's what scares me about this weekend coming up. I'm excited for the boys to be back in Philadelphia. I think that we have probably the best home field advantage in the league. I mean, for a team that's 0-7 now on the road and
0-5 on the road.
0-5 on the road and has our only two wins at home, I think that's huge because had those two wins been on the road, I think we lose them because we don't have the home field advantage that we have in Philadelphia. And it's kind of crazy to think how much the fans can affect a game, but I think that it plays a huge part in Philadelphia's wins.
Yeah, and I mean, even the games that they've lost, the home field advantage has been there. You know, you look at the first game of the season against Buffalo, you look at last weekend against Buffalo, you look at the Toronto game, you look at the Colorado game. Those are four games just off the top of my head that could have been wins. You put those in the win column for this team, that's six wins rather than two. And then you put last night, that's seven wins. You're right there with New England with a tiebreaker on the line next week. So imagine if those five games go differently and you're sitting at 7-5 going into the biggest game of the season with the tiebreaker for the playoffs on the line. Like, we'd be having a totally different conversation on this podcast. We'd be having a totally different conversation next week on the podcast. Like, it's crazy to just think you can rattle off so many games for this team that were so winnable and yet somehow they found a way to lose.
Exactly. And there's no other way to put it. It's literally just frustrating, and there's just nothing we can do about it.
Nope.
Nothing at all. Because we are just the reporters. We are just commentating on what they do on the field. We can't affect it. We can't light a fire in their ass. We can't do anything. We'll just keep talking about it.
That's what we do.
But it's tough, because will I ever lose motivation to talk about it? Hell no, because I love this game and I've loved doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But it's tough to come on here every week and just say, wow, I wish we would have converted in the fourth quarter. I wish we would have been able to score one more goal. I wish we were able to play a little bit more defense. I wish DeRussio Buchan would have been able to make it through four quarters. It's the same lines, just different week every single
week. Same song and dance, man.
Insanity.
The one positive thing looking at next week's game, obviously we're 2-5 at home, but that's two wins for our two wins of the season at home. New England's 1-4 away from Mohegan Sun, so that's a big positive. They don't play well on the road, and hopefully we get a result like we did in mid-February and can come away with a win against New England and have that tiebreaker in hand going into this stretch run. you know, there's only two playoff spots left in the East because Buffalo and Georgia both clinched this weekend. Buffalo now at 11-3, Georgia at 10-4. It's crazy to think that we were thinking Georgia was going to have a collapse, but they've just gone on an absolute tear. It's been Toronto that's kind of fallen from the good graces of the top of the East, but Buffalo and Georgia both in the playoffs, and now you have two spots left for theoretically three teams, because I don't think Rochester can dig themselves out of the hole they're in. But you've seen crazier things in sports. But neither 2-10 team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs just yet. But Philly has to win next week in order to keep those playoff hopes alive. And we'll be there, obviously. We're at every home game. We'll have a post-game show from the Wells Fargo Center for the second to last time, which is hashtag depressing.
The season's flown by, dude.
It has. It has. But obviously before we have post-game shows, we have preview shows every week, and that'll be me and Herm next week, so make sure you're staying tuned for that, because I think we're going to wrap things up here, but we'll have the preview show talking all things NLL, breaking down kind of the playoff hunt, breaking down, you know, every single matchup. We'll have our picks of the week review, and, yeah, you know, just another... It kind of leaves you speechless. Another disappointing loss for the Philadelphia Wings. But, you know, when they end up winning an NLL Cup in a couple years, we can say, hey, we made it through the 2-10 inaugural season. And we'll have exactly. that on our resume. So, Herm, any final thoughts for this game?
As depressing as this podcast was, I think Thursday we'll come back and light it up with a freaking pump up for the weekend heading into what could be one of the most important weekends of the NLL season for both divisions, and I'm excited to be back. So let's put this one behind us here and get ready for New England, because I'm going to go ahead and make my pick for next week right now. The Wings are winning.
Heyo. Yeah, I agree. You know, they just got to shrug this one off. They can't let this linger, and they got to get back to business and take care of, you know, New England and at least win a series against the team this year, because I think that would be huge going forward for this team, taking 2 of 3 from their new rivals, as Matt Rambo put it in February. This is a rivalry now, so take care of business, win a series, kind of put a stamp on the season and let us remember the two good games against New England, and keep the playoff hopes somewhat alive. You know, you're almost drowning, but you can still kind of breathe, move some water further down, and get yourself back up to land. Make sure you're subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. They go a long way. We want to get to 200 sooner rather than later. We're at 172 5-star reviews right now. So give us those 28 more. Because I'm going to be reading all of the 5-star reviews we have on a bonus podcast come April 1st. That'll be our April Fool's Day podcast. So
that'll take you a while.
It's going to be fun. I'm gonna not have a voice after, but it'll be worth it because you guys are what we do this for, and all the reviews mean a lot. They go a long way, not only for, you know, the podcast, but it means a lot to everybody that's hopping on each and every show. It goes a long way, so keep them coming. We love reading them, and we will catch you guys next week for a bunch of shows, and hopefully we'll be talking about a Wings win from the Wells Fargo Center. But this has been episode number 27 of Outside the Box right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. And for Herm, I'm Kyle. We are signing off. Peace.